Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to study your word, for we know that it builds us up for eternity. Praise you for it. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You that have your Bibles, if you want to turn to the 8th chapter of Romans, verse 28. That's Romans 8:28. And I'll read. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say, then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, my dad, he preached 100 sermons on each one of these verses. So you know that I'm never going to get through all this right here, don't you? And I don't plan on it. I'll tell you people that right now. I don't plan on it. But I remember now, this is one of his verses that he preached on the two ships. When he's down there and he looked out the window and seen two identical ships. And they were in the harbor there. And he said, he thought, well, they're traveling together. They pulled out of the harbor together. And he said, about 45 minutes later, he looked out and one of them was going one direction and one of them was going the other direction. And then he said, a penny and a $100 bill, they're both money, but they're not a pair. And he preached his sermon on two do not make a pair. Of course, it was a sermon to young people, mainly. They think they meet something they think's the first love, and they think they're a pair. And the further they go in life, the more they find out they're not a pair. And the further they get separated. But his sermon was, what shall separate us? Not from him. This is a forever thing. But as I said, he had so many sermons on this 8th chapter, and I've got the tapes, boxes of them. If you don't think he didn't do it. But he had a lot of years to do it, didn't he? So he said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, that's how he brought that sermon out, was because it wasn't our love, our fickle love. That is as fickle, he'd always say, as Colorado is this time of year. It don't know whether it wants to be summer or winter. Love of Christ, shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine, nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither he preached one on that verse, because I'm not going to get back to this, I know. So I'll tell you now, he preached on that 37th verse, 9-10-89, on Alexander the Great, that wept because there was no more to conquer. And he brought out how the Romans would bring what they had conquered back through Rome, and how more there was left, and how Paul says, we're the last, we're the least. The parade, how they had them stacked, the Romans and the least of the people at the end, and that's what Jesse will get into with the Corinthians. God, we're the last as far as you Corinthians are concerned. Well, he preached a wonderful sermon on that, that through Christ, you got more than enough ammunition to conquer anything and everything. Fires, sickness. Of course, he'd go into the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Cover the whole thing. You stand victorious at the end, more than a conqueror. You've got enough left to go forever, because that's the seed that's in you. Of course, he'd bring out that seed that they put rocks on, and it just kept growing. Some of you know what I'm saying there. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, height, depth, nor any other creature. And that's the devil or anything created. Anything created, anything they make out of drugs or anything is a creation. You see? That's any creation. Deaf angels, that takes in anything there is. There isn't anything that can conquer you. You can conquer it. Power, present, nor things to come, height, depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us. And then he bring out the reason you're not going to separate like those two ships is because it's his love, not yours. Separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Back to the 28th verse now. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed. It doesn't say predestinate to be saved, does it? But that's how almost a lot of people read it. To the image, what image? The image of Jesus in a manger? Or to the full-grown Son of God that he accomplished at the end of his life? Why do you think God had him go back at 12 years old? Because he wasn't that image yet of a full-grown son. And be subject to an earthly mother and father. He developed the perfect human, full-grown son. And we just before this, it says that he's going to bring these many sons. Two, we got through 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the full-grown sons of God. This creation, they'll be there. all these ranks, but that's what the purpose is, that he'd have all these full-grown sons. We read here that Christ is the making intercession for us at this time. He hasn't come into this glory of this full-grown son like this. He at this time is a high priest making intercession for us. We read through the Bible, 1 John being one of the places. It's what he is doing at this time. Hebrews 2 tells us that we see all these things that are going to be. We see all these full-grown sons that are going to be there. But we don't see it yet. Second of Hebrews said, but we see Jesus. We see this by faith. This is the purpose, that we would be conformed to the image of a full-grown son. As Sister Bodie says in her statements, her book, you people that have read it, that Jesus cannot really be glorified until the purpose of having all these full-grown children are there. Of course, Jesse said this morning he would have died had he had a human race and he would have been the only one, but he wouldn't have had it. See, that wasn't God's purpose. God's purpose was to have this large, full-grown family. That was his purpose. That's what he wants. That's what gives him pleasure. The deepest of pleasure is for you to grow to this full image. And of course, now here with these statements, this predestination, Augustine in the 4th century come out with whatsoever shall be, shall be. The future's not ours to do. What shall be, shall be. A judge at the gym. He's 84 years old and he works out. He's really fighting it. And he's there almost every day. Mainly tries to work his legs and stretch a little, but he does some work. And he's a judge here in town. He was the guy, that judge that made him take that wall down so far on the highway there. And one of the guys that's worked out with us, he's a bank builder, is dying. And he's been there, I've known him about 3 years. And he said, well, just like I told my wife, what shall be, shall be. And I said, are you a Lutheran? Yeah, I said. I says, well, yeah, that's what they believe. What shall be, shall be. And I said, you know, that's kind of right. What shall be is when Jesus is standing knocking at your door, I said, you let him in, then that's what's going to be. Wonderful. A vessel to honor. But if you don't let him in, you're going to be a vessel to dishonor. That's what's going to be. But you got to let him in. And he stood there. And he said, John, how come you were a mailman? I said, well, I enjoyed delivering mail to the people I was delivering mail to. And he knew what I meant. But anyway, you see, that is not so. But that's what has been taught, and there's been battles fought all over this. Long came Luther and taught it, and Calvin, which is Presbyterians. Now, that's how they read this, that God predestinated, and he's going to put you in hell, and all these scriptures, and of course, then the Arminians, they come along with whosoever it takes freedom and a choice. A man has a choice and the freedom of choice. And of course, they said, if that be so, then God determined who would be a sinner and who wouldn't be a sinner, so nobody had a choice, so God's the author of sin, which he'd have to be. See? Well, no, you can't go against God's sovereignty. He's just and he's sovereign. But he's also the author of sin. And there was very many arguments out of it. Howbeit, the Armenians, they kept thinking you had to make the choice every other hour to get saved again. You see? But they did preach the whosoever. It was up to you. The knob was on the inside of the door. The Holy Spirit was knocking with the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and what it's all about. You see, those Jews heard over and over and over the whosoever message. It wasn't that they couldn't. Jesus said they wouldn't. And he gave them one example of after another. He always answered with Scripture. He said, what does the Scripture say? Of course, the Catholic Church, they say, what does the tradition or the Pope say? And it goes right back to the same thing. What they turned down, he did everything. He said, oh, Jerusalem, you Jews, I would. What did Isaiah say? Though they be as the sand, few of them are going to be saved. These are people that just a little will be saved. Why? Because they did not believe. So he isn't, as Brother Copley says, they read this backwards. They don't read the predestination with the whosoever right. And there's where they get confused. Anybody that accepts the Lord Jesus Christ and is born again, that answers this call, who they call now, there's people that are called that don't answer the call. Understand that. This right here is talking about the ones that were the elect. If you've answered the call, you're the elect. Because that's who you are. You're in Christ. As I said last Sunday night, there's only one that was determined to be just one. And that's because he was the only one that could be the only one. He was predestinated, Jesus himself, way before the world. He was the one predestinated. We are chose and chose alone in him because he would be the head of a new race, a new creation, a super race, a heavenly race, a spiritual race. And only, like said, how foolish to think that Adam could have ever came into a relationship with God, even if he would have perfected a human holiness, which he'd have got if he would have passed the test, but he didn't. He would have never had a relationship with God. Like Jesus? Huh? He's God himself. He's part of the Trinity. In the eternities past, he was very God, a person in the Trinity. And that's your life. You don't have the attributes of him because you're not in the God family. Their attributes, they know everything. They're pure, holy from could have never. Of course, we are now taking that life. My Father, many of you knew him. You think of his attributes. But us three sons were just as much his sons, whether we took on his attributes or not. You see? The attributes of the Trinity, all of them had it. But Jesus is the one that has become a man. And God wants you, his purpose was, and you read this in Ephesians. You got to go through those three chapters of Ephesians to find out that the eternal purpose was to be conformed to that full image. It's what Paul tells you. It's like he don't tell you everything in one place. It's like you get something that's in, go buy something, you got to put it together and you got to read the manual. It says go to page 3. And you look at that part of it. And what Paul's saying here, he tells you in the other books what this purpose is. To be the masterpiece. To be the, it says in the church, the mystery and his workmanship are his greatest work in creation is this. This isn't talking about being saved and not being saved. This is talking about taking on the full image that Christ is now. And soon in the fourth chapter, when he takes that throne, when I seen a throne being set up, you want to be there. And why didn't God, why hasn't he, like he did Moses, raised Paul? He hasn't raised Paul. Because when this happens, it all happens at once with these full-grown sons. These people that will run the universe forever. And whether you agree with it or not, this is the workmanship. You find that on page so-and-so, and you put it together, what he's talking about. So, we know that all things work together to good for them that love God. Now, there's a lot of people, all his children love him. They'll be loving him. He's talking about a love that he told Peter. Peter, do you love me more than these? Not more than them. See, these covered everything. Them, he would have been saying, you said you loved me more than James and John. That would have been them. But he didn't. He said these. He put the whole thing. Love God. Do you love him more than any of these? Anything. Doesn't even compare. If you get into it, you'll say, Lord, you're right. This is a love that there's nothing. You've used examples, but this is the only satisfying, complete love. And that's what he's talking about. Because there was Martha and Mary in John 12. Peter, if you're looking for that, that's John 21:15. But Martha, she loved him. So did Mary. But it was, where was the priority of that love? Where was it? Don't get the idea that Mary didn't do some work. It's in the Old Testament, you had, as they said, the three W's. You had to be a worshiper, a worker, and a warrior. And you had to have them in place. You have to have the worship first. Mary had the worship first. Martha had the working first. But don't think that Mary wasn't also a worker and a warrior. She just had her priority right, is all this saying. Well, these people have their priority right, that it's working for their good. Don't tell anybody that a Christian and they love, I've seen people that love God, and so have you, and they drank themselves to death. Now, was that bottle every day working for their good? Was it? No. So he's talking about these people that have put everything, their love for him first. That's first, he says here. Notice that's first. If you don't have that, forget it. Because that's what it is. It's a love thing. Because that's the only thing that's going to constrain you to get through this, is to fall deeply in love with God, your Father, and realize that God is love. To them that are called according to his purpose. Well, what's his purpose? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. That's the purpose. In other words, he was determined way back in the council. Now, when he made man, right at the first, he said, let us, you read that in Genesis, let us make man. That was a council, but that was for man. Way before that, we're told he had a council, and he predestinated that he'd have these sons. Way back then, that was his eternal purpose. These people that'll soon be translated, and he'll set up that throne, and everything will be against him and those sons. But he will, before it's over, show who the only potentate is. You want to be with him there when he does? See, he hasn't done that yet. But he's going to do it soon. And there's going to be a lot of people that aren't going to like that. And they wouldn't like it a billion years from now if you let them out. Because that's how they are. And that's how you're going to be. This is serious stuff. This is forever. And, but he knew this. But notice that foreknowledge comes before that. That you could be conformed. And then he brings out how he did it in the 30th verse. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Now, there were a lot of people that hear the calling. Paul later will say, how can they believe unless they hear somebody tell them the gospel? And yet we read at other times when Jesus is telling them, he's telling them this. He says, you're going to come up before people, and you're going to tell them the gospel. They're going to hear this calling, but they're not going to accept. Now, those people could have. He actually did know who would and who wouldn't. That was his foreknowledge. But those people that are called, they could have. It was their own choice. As the Holy Spirit knocked on that door, they says, no way are you getting in here. I don't believe that. So, but he's talking mainly about those that answered the call. I'll give you these scriptures real fast now here. Ephesians 1:4 tells you about this kindness that I've been talking about. 2 Timothy 1:9, a purpose. 1 Peter 1:19. And then I will go to Acts 13:84. Let's go to Acts 13:84. There's no 84. I knew that. I'd have to go back to the Psalms for that, wouldn't I? Let's see. 48. Yeah, let's go to Psalms. Yeah, 48. And when the Gentiles heard this about being saved, that they could, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. Now, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. You know how he told Paul, I've got many people over here. How Paul had a vision for a few to come over. They weren't saved yet. Come over and talk to us. And I've got many people here. Now those people weren't just the ones that could have got saved there. Paul talked to a lot of them. Now, this doesn't mean that these people that were ordained, were chosen out, and they were the only ones, as these people I told you about believe. This means they answered the call, or they heeded the summons of the call. They used to have a draft in this country. Sent you a draft notice. There was a lot of people that went to Canada. They didn't answer the call. That's what that call is. You can answer it or you cannot answer this call. So, as many as answered the call, as opened the door, got to eternal life. Going to, you can go to 18:10 on this, or you can go to Acts 17:30 and Acts 2:38, and you'll find out that those people there answered the call. In that, it says that he was ordained to be crucified. Now, it doesn't. Are you saying that God made those people do that wicked act? He said it was predetermined that you people should do this. In other words, he made them do it, right? That's what you're going to end up with if you stick to that. It doesn't mean that. It means he allowed them to do what they were predetermined and determined to do. That's all that means, and that's all this means here. They answered the call. They either rejected it or they accepted it. So my dad used to say about his older brother, he'd sing that song, life is like a mountain railroad. He'd say, no, Lillard, it isn't. That's whatsoever shall be, and you're not on a track. You're going through life where there's many crossroads, and it's evident you took off on the wrong road a long time ago. He'd tell him, I've been in the car when he'd tell him that. He said, well, son, you don't know what happened to me. Yeah, I do, Lillard. You took the wrong turn. That's what he'd tell him. Right along there, we were going fishing. That was quite some conversations, huh? Now, these scriptures that seem like that are not that at all. There's too many whosoever scriptures. You do always resist what? The Holy Ghost. How? Of course, they use John 3 there. Where the Spirit bloweth, if He blows and begins to deal with the heart, they can't. It's with John 3:16 He blows. Whosoever believeth on Him and opens that door. You see how this argument down through the years has been that way, and yet the other side of them, they say you let it in and it's eternal life, but the next day Christ is out on the street again, out of your heart, if you've done something. Aren't you glad for the truth here? That you know how to rightly divide this? So, He called. And whom He called them, He justified. The highest, that's the adoption. That's your right. You're justified. The highest court has justified you. And He did this all before they had that conference and said, let us make man in our own image. This was the main thing. This was the eternal purpose for God. And whom He, you're justified. He was raised for your justification. The devil will never, ever get Him back in that tomb again. You're justified. You're an adopted son. But more than that, you're a born son. So, and this all happened way back then. Them He also glorified. So you're as good as glorified, and ever child of God, Jesse will come to it, shall have praise. Not ever man, it means ever man that's led Him in. Of this that was called and answered that call, you'll be glorified. There's going to be glory for everyone. But then there's going to be differences in glory as you look out in that universe and look at it. That's what He's trying to teach you, and He always gives three. As He goes through the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, what is it? Three, you know, 40, 70, 100. He uses three different animals. It's 3, 3, 3. Aaron's rod had three different things on it, three different stages. And which stage are you going to be? You're going to be 100%? And He has glorified you. And it says, what shall we say then to these things? Dad, what do we say? Right here, I'm going to say, amen, Lord, I believe You. What are you going to say? You going to say amen to this? If God started all that and He's got me sitting here, I think He's going to maybe finish it. If I'll just let Him do it. If He's for us, who can be against us? If He spared not His own Son, He gave you everything. Because in His Son is everything. There isn't anything that's anything that isn't any Son. What an what a gift. What a gift. And then the gift of the Holy Ghost. As He went through the 26th to the 27th, That's where that pamphlet that you get to make up something, I never was good at that. I could have done it, but I didn't have patience enough because I think, why in the world wouldn't they do it, you know? I could finally sit down and do it. But I'd get my son over there, J.D., that guy can put that kind of stuff up in a minute. He just looks at it, and his dad, he knows that. He can do that kind of stuff. So why should I take 2 days and finally him come over and say, hey, you got this part over here, it's wrong. I'd say, well, it's working. Yeah, but it isn't right, Dad. And he'd change it, and I'd look at it. Sure enough, it wasn't right. Here, look at this. There it is in your pamphlet. Well, that's what the Holy Spirit. He's a gift. They sometimes send you certain tools along and the nuts and stuff, and you're not going to do it without them. Well, you might put a piece of wire in there, but they'll see the wire, everybody that looks at it, and realize John finally put it up that way. Oh, well, it works for a while. You see, that's what it's all about. You got it. But you're going to have to turn over there, you young people. You're going to have to turn over there and really get those 3 chapters of Ephesians down. Really get them down. Because that's where he tells you about this eternal purpose. Well, you can't lay, how can anybody lay a charge to God's elect or saved without laying the charge to Jesus Christ? How could God allow a charge to be brought against us and not bring the charge against his son? Because it all rests on his son. So what do you say to that? It was God that justified. He's the one that raised his son for our justification. He's the one that planned out justification way before we were here. So how are you going to go against his plan when he's going to prove you the liar? If you accuse one of his children that are justified, he'll stand there on that day and show you that child that's a perfect, holy child. And you'll have to say, well, that's not what they were back then. Well, I know that. But this is what they are now. That was then. This is now. But you're not saved now. You're still a sinner now. That's what you are now. There'll be no charge against any child of God on that day. And that's what there'll be. Derek back there, his son, is boxing. And it don't make any difference. Somebody that might have went to school with him might come up and say, well, I could whip you in the 6th grade. That was then. This is now. Understand that. What you're going to be is going to be now. And he is able. He that's committed himself to you in this is able to make you that beautiful creature that is completely in the image of his son. Matter of fact, when John was in heaven, he got so confused in seeing some of these sons, he thought it was the Lord Jesus Christ himself and started falling down to worship him. To be conformed to the image of his son. Let's stand, Paul, our brother.